case, Sterk v. Redbox. Mr. Perlstick.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Roger Perlstadt on behalf of Appellants Kevin Sterk and Gia Chung. The District Court's granting of summary judgment below was error for three independent reasons. First, it's undisputed that Redbox discloses its customers' private video rental records to stream without their consent. Those disclosures violate the VPPA and do not fall within the narrowly drawn statutory exception for disclosures incident to the ordinary course of business. Second, it's undisputed that Redbox discloses its customers' private video rental records to Iron Mountain without their consent. Those disclosures violate the VPPA, and Redbox offers absolutely no defense supported by the record to justify or otherwise excuse those disclosures. Third, by entering summary judgment prior to the close of merits discovery, the District Court denied plaintiffs a full opportunity to determine whether any other unlawful disclosures of their private video rental records without their consent have or are taking place. For those three reasons, we respectfully request that this Court reverse the District Court's entry of summary judgment below. I'll start with the disclosures to Stream. Redbox collects information about every video rental transaction, and it stores all of these records in what we've termed the viewing history database. Further, Redbox preemptively discloses the entire database to Stream. Every customer's records, every customer transaction, every video rental is disclosed to Stream. Now, these disclosures do not fall within the statutory exception for disclosures incident to the ordinary course of business. As a general matter, statutory exceptions are to be read narrowly, and both the statutory text and the legislative history of the VPPA confirm that the ordinary course of business exception should be read narrowly. First, the text defines the term ordinary course of business, and it defines it as only, quote, only, four things: debt collection activities, order fulfillment, request processing, and the transfer of ownership. This is an exhaustive definition, and it does not include customer service, which is what Stream provides for Redbox. Further, the legislative history emphasizes that this exception is to be narrowly drawn. This ordinary course of business exception is to be narrowly drawn. And the reason for that, Congress tells us exactly why they want it narrowly drawn. They say, we enacted a Privacy Act in 1974. We included an exception for the routine use of certain information, and that routine use exception has been interpreted very broadly. It's completely undermined the purposes of the Act, and we want to avoid that here with the VPPA. And so what we're going to do is disclosures incident to the ordinary course of business are okay. We're going to say that and expressly define ordinary course of business and narrowly define it to these four things. Now, the District Court held that customer service is request processing because it's the processing of requests for information. But with all due respect to the District Court, request processing cannot mean processing any old request. It can't mean just any request, right? And the reason for that is if that were the case, that would completely eviscerate the purpose of the statute. If the only limit on request processing, on the disclosure of information, is that a request was made, then Redbox could disclose private video rental records to the press, so long as the press requests them. As you may recall, it was a video store's disclosure of Judge Bork's video records that prompted the Video Privacy Act, Video Privacy Protection Act. And if request processing is read as the District Court read it, it would simply mean that if a reporter requested a judge or a celebrity or a politician's video information from Redbox, Redbox could simply say, oh sure, we're just processing that request from the press and we're going to turn over that information. So request processing cannot be read as broadly as the District Court read it and as broadly as Redbox would like.
How would you define it?
So I think the natural way to define it is to see how the word request is used elsewhere in the statute. And the request is used elsewhere in the statute in the definition of personally identifiable information. The statute defines personally identifiable information as information that identifies a person, quote, as having requested or obtained specific video materials. So what the statute's referring to when it talks about requests is requests for specific video materials. I'm going to Redbox. I would like to rent this particular movie, this science fiction movie, this romantic comedy, this documentary. Consumers requesting a specific video materials. And so... Then, if you treat request as in that light, as the statute does elsewhere, then request processing is limited to processing requests for specific video materials. And that's not at all what Stream does. There's no evidence in the record that Stream helps process requests for specific video materials. All it does is answer consumer questions about billing, about they're having trouble playing a tape, prior movie rentals, things like that. Further, even if you accept the district court's reading that customer service can fall within the request processing prong of the ordinary course of business exception, Redbox preemptively discloses every customer's records. It discloses every customer's records, the entire database, completely divorced from any request. Customers could never ever call Stream for help. They rent their movies, they go home, no problem, watch them, return them, never want to call customer service, never make a request for information from customer service. Their records are still disclosed to Stream, a third party outside of Redbox. And that, so even if you were to say that customer service constitutes request processing, it can't be that Redbox is permitted. It's not the case that Redbox is permitted by the BPPA to disclose every customer's records, regardless of whether they make a request to Stream.
So is the concern that somebody who's unrelated or whatever can go in and ask information on a specific person?
Yes. The basic problem here, Your Honor, is that you can find out a lot about a person by what movies they rent. You can find out more about a person from the movies they rent than from their resume or their CV or anything. I mean, this is really private personal information. And so people, consumers, individuals have a right to control where that information goes and to know and control where that information goes. Obviously, when a customer rents from Redbox, they know that Redbox has access to that. If I go to Redbox and say I'd like to rent this movie, obviously Redbox knows that. But anything past that, I have the right to control and know where that information is going. So if I don't want anyone but Redbox to know what movies I'm renting, I have that right. Redbox needs to ask me, get my informed written consent, before they disclose that outside to Stream or to Iron Mountain or to a data analytics company or to marketers, anything like that. So yes, the concern is that you have a right to control your information, where that information goes. And I think to maybe more specifically address your question, yes, we don't know what Stream is doing with that information. They just have access to these records. They can search by name. They can search by movie title. They're using it. There's evidence in the record that they're using these live databases to train trainees that aren't even full Redbox employees yet. They've just started. They're just trainees, and they're accessing their information. They could search what did Mr. Perlstadt rent or who rented this Michael Moore documentary. They could search whatever they want.
So the problem is, as you just said, that we don't really know what they do with it.
Right.
And so I guess then we have to sort of speculate what they could do with it, and then what?
Well, the point is they have the information. And that disclosure alone is the injury, is the harm to the consumers. Because, like I said, everyone has a right to control that private information and where it goes. And once you give it to Redbox, and under the law, Redbox has to hold that information. They can't give it to anyone else without your informed written consent.
But they're not responding to requests for, I'd like to see John Doe's record of rental things, are they?
Stream?
That's not what this case is about, is it? Just an individual, say a newspaper, going in and asking for it. This is in the ordinary course of how they do business, right?
I just want to be careful because ordinary course of business has a defined meaning here.
Right.
So I dispute that these disclosures are within the ordinary course of business.
Debt collection activities, order fulfillment, request processing, and transfer of ownership.
Right. That is not why the disclosures to Stream are not do not fall within any of those four categories. They're disclosing to Stream ostensibly so that Stream can perform customer service functions. Customer service isn't any of those. Four prongs of the defined term ordinary.
What is customer service?
Customer service is answering questions about, I've got a bill. You know, my disc won't play. How can I play it? Or how can I clean this disc? Or this disc won't play. Can I get my money back? Or those types of questions.
But this doesn't get back to the real problem, as you mentioned, the Borkett situation, where news media or some outside party comes in and asks Redbox. What kind of movies does so-and-so rent from you?
Right. You're right. It's perhaps not a disclosure to the press, and it's not necessarily a disclosure publicly. And Redbox does try to make this a kind of a public, non-public, draw that line in their briefs. But frankly, that's not supported by the statute. The statute doesn't say video service providers can't make public disclosures of this information. It says they can't disclose that information without written consent. This is really a consent statute, Your Honor.
Well, but again, to get back to the Bork example, that's really what was the catalyst that did all this, and it was to avoid having you or anybody else, your records of what you rent, given out publicly, not to prevent it from being done in the course of business or whatever the might be in how the company operates, as long as it doesn't go outside and release to the public.
Well, with all due respect, Your Honor, I agree that the impetus for this law was obviously the Bork incident. But given that there's absolutely no indication in the statute that there's this public, non-public disclosure, I think that Congress intended to protect this information. They deemed this information private information that the individual has the right to control. And there is a concern, I think, in terms of maybe Stream doesn't give that information out to the press. Maybe
you're saying Congress does what it usually does is a very poor job of drafting the statute.
That may be the case, Your Honor. I do think that this statute is clear enough to establish that what Redbox is doing here is it violates the statute and does not fall within. I think Congress was really clear that the ordinary course of business exception has to be narrow. Of course, Congress recognizes that companies may need to use third parties to engage in their business. Congress allowed them to, without consent, do it in these four narrow circumstances, which do not include customer service to Stream, like Stream does. And frankly, it creates not an exception, but it allows disclosures with the informed written consent of the customers. All Redbox would need to do is say, customers, we are going to disclose, we use an outside vendor for customer service. We're going to disclose your movie information. We think that'll help you. Do you want to allow us to do that? And that could happen at every kiosk rental, every time. Or the statute allows for advance consent for 2 hours. For 2 years. I see that my time is running low, and if there's no further questions at this time, I'd like to remain.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Perlstadt.
Thank you.
Ms. Spears.
Good morning. Natalie Spears on behalf of Redbox. May it please the court. Responding to customers' requests is request processing. That is exactly what the plain language of the ordinary course of business exception to the VPPA expressly allows, and that's exactly what Redbox does here. As the district court said, it's hard to imagine a more obvious illustration of request processing than, given the ordinary meaning of that term, than Redbox's use of a customer service vendor in a core business function responding to customers' requests and processing those requests. And that's why the district court's judgment in favor of Redbox should be affirmed.
What do you know, customer requests, what can that, what's, is there limitations on what a customer can request?
Well, first of all, the implicit in the statute is that it's a request of a customer. So to address this newspaper reporter hypothetical, that it would not be a request of a customer. A request of a stranger is clearly not what Congress implicated. It's certainly not what we're pushing for as an interpretation. It's a straw man argument that falls apart quickly. Ordinary course of business is customer service request processing, that a customer could call in and ask, I see a charge on my bill. Can you tell me what video it was I requested?
So it's a billing thing or whatever. Does the Redbox have any promotional stuff? For instance, if they have a database that identifies the type of movies people like, do they ever email and say, we've got these new movies in that you might be interested in or something like that? Or do you know?
That's not one of the things that's at issue here, but yes, they can do that. That's not part of what the customer service vendor does. But to get to...
Well, it's a promotional effort to get that customer to come in and we got the kind of movie you like now, and you might want to go rent it.
That can happen as another part of the business, too.
I know. I sometimes Redbox movies get to our house, and I ask my wife, and she's the kind that look at that, if there were such a thing, just throw it away. But I'm just curious if there is a promotional effort with this database and this information.
Not with regard to the customer service vendor, but yes, the information about a movie transactional history and the customer's name and information is part of a database. And going to that point, the purpose of the act is also served by the district court's ruling here, because Congress was not trying to straitjacket or cripple videotape service providers in their ordinary course of business functions. The legislative history expressly includes, right in connection with the ordinary course of business exception, that Congress, and it states specifically, intended that videotape service providers would use third parties in their business.
Redbox is it exclusively kiosks? I mean, there, you don't have stores like
correct.
Blockbuster used to be when they were.
Correct. It's kiosks.
So there's nobody to talk to when you get a movie out of it.
Right. And in fact, the example counsel gave, if you were requesting information or requesting a video itself, whether you're requesting it of the video or you're calling up customer service to ask about that video, that's still a request. I mean, their definition is narrow and tortured and doesn't serve any purpose of the statute other than perhaps to have some kind of hook to try to keep the claim afloat. The entire database argument also is one that falls apart quickly. As the district court said, you look at the nature and purpose of the disclosure. It doesn't change even if you assume that the customer service vendor has access to the entire database to serve that purpose. As the district court said, the purpose is still the same, and this court's holding in Graysick versus West supports this reasoning as well. There, the court was looking at the disclosure of an entire database under the Driver's Privacy Protection Act, and in order to determine whether that was a permissible use, the court looked at the nature and purpose of the disclosure. And here, when you look at the nature and purpose of the disclosure, it is for request processing, so that if a customer calls in, the database can be effectively and efficiently searched to answer and process that customer's request. It doesn't swallow the rule at all. It, in fact, is the rule. It's the plain language of the text, and it should be applied here. Just to address a point counsel didn't get to completely, but the district court was well within its discretion to deny further discovery here. Rule 56 and 56D serves a very important sifting out function. Plaintiffs didn't identify any additional discovery that was material to summary judgment that they needed, and the judge gave them two chances to do so, both in the 56D pleading as well as in their papers.
With regard to the district court procedure, isn't that a requirement after the case is filed that be submitted, or is it on the request of the district judge?
Under 56D?
The information.
Under 56D, the court invited the plaintiffs, if they wanted additional discovery, to identify what information they would need.
But my question is, once you file, you don't have to submit that automatically. It's not required to submit automatically. It's at the request or direction of the judge.
I believe so, that's right. I mean, you have the opportunity as a litigant to take advantage of 56D, of course. This Iron Mountain plea that they've come up with now and centered in their appellate briefing is not even too little too late. It's completely baseless. Iron Mountain is the equivalent of a storage locker where Redbox keeps hardware disaster backup recovery tapes. If that's a disclosure, then I guess all of the law firms in the city of Chicago are disclosing and waiving attorney-client privilege by storing their records at places like Iron Mountain. Tellingly, plaintiffs didn't raise it in their 56D as a reason for why they would need additional discovery, and they didn't even bother to address it in the main of their brief. They relegated it to a footnote in which they actually said that they weren't going to address it. Moreover, even if you did take the next step to look at it and assume there was a disclosure that needed to be addressed, it would fall squarely within the ordinary course of business exception, because if you look at the four areas, debt collection, order fulfillment, request processing, even transfer of ownership, if there was a disaster and the company needed to back up its tapes, it certainly wouldn't be able to fulfill any of those ordinary courses of business without access to the records. So there was simply no abuse of discretion here at all. The district court's ruling should be affirmed, and I will just close with saying, although the complaint's allegations at the beginning of this case were broad and vague regarding what purported disclosures were even being challenged, this case boiled down to one of Redbox's core business practice, which is the use of a customer service vendor to provide its telephonic customer support services. That is exactly within the express language of the ordinary course of business exception for request processing. It's a far cry from where this case started, and it's an even further cry from the incident that gave rise to the VPPA with Judge Bork's movie rental history being published in a newspaper. Instead, Redbox complies with the VPPA's plain language, the intent of the act, and the purpose of the ordinary course of business exception, which Congress specifically said in the legislative history was to allow third parties in their businesses to allow functions like ordinary course request processing. We ask the district court to affirm, we ask this court to affirm the district court's judgment in favor of Redbox. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Spears. Ms. Pearlstein.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I may, just a couple points in response. First, with respect to Iron Mountain and the Iron Mountain, the disclosure is clear. The only evidence in the record is that Iron Mountain gets copies of the entire video history database. That's it. They say in their briefs that it was encrypted. They say in their briefs that it's inaccessible. We have no idea whether that's true. All we know is that the entire database is given to Iron Mountain and for backup storage, but backup storage is not one of the four categories of ordinary
courses. Ms. Pearl said, isn't this argument waived?
No, it's not waived, Your Honor.
How did you preserve it?
We preserved it. As this court has held, waiver is the intentional relinquishment of or abandonment of an argument. And the issue is whether opposing party has an opportunity to respond to it, sufficient notice of the argument and to respond to it. We raised it in response to Redbox's statement of material facts. They said, we only disclose customer information to these seven vendors. And we said, wait a second, no you don't. You also disclose it to Iron Mountain. That's a problem. We also raised that in our statement of additional material facts. We said, you disclose the database to Iron Mountain. And Redbox responded to that, admitting it. They admitted that Iron Mountain stores the backup tapes. We also raised it in our motion for summary judgment. Yes, it was in a footnote. Yes, in hindsight, I would put it in the body of the brief. That said, there's not much more we could say about the Iron Mountain disclosure other than what I've already said. And we said that in the brief. They disclosed the entire database to Iron Mountain. Backup storage is not in the ordinary course of business, and they offer no defense suggesting that there's any excuse for their disclosure to Iron Mountain.
Did you just say backup storage is not in the ordinary course of business?
Right, because the ordinary course of business is defined as four things: request processing, order fulfillment, debt collection, and transfer of ownership. Backup services is not included in that, nor is backup services even incident to that. It's not incident to any of those four things. And further, then this applies to the point about disclosing the whole database to stream as well. The VPPA prohibits the ordinary course of business exception allows disclosures that are incident to the ordinary course of business.
So you
incident
say that's a disclosure.
I'm sorry?
You say the backup is a disclosure.
Right, the backup is a disclosure. Because maybe if there were evidence in the record that it was strongly encrypted by kind of industry-specific encryption and that Iron Mountain didn't have the key to that encryption, maybe we would concede that there's no disclosure. But there's absolutely none of that in the record. And that's the kind of stuff that could have been fleshed out if discovery had been allowed to proceed. And with respect to the incident, I want to make clear that reiterate that the statute requires a disclosure incident to, not requires, but allows disclosures incident to the ordinary course of business. And it's important to keep in mind that even if customer service is incident to request processing, the question isn't whether customer service or backup storage is incident to the ordinary course of business. It's whether the disclosures are incident to the ordinary course of business. So Redbox wants to say that a disclosure is incident to customer service, which is incident to request processing, which falls within the ordinary course of business. That's not how the statute reads, Your Honor. And so we would respectfully request that you reverse the entry of summary judgment below.
Thank you, Mr. Prosser. Ms. Spears, all counsel, we extend thanks, and the case is taken under advisement.